Every year when I get to Pasha's Toldos, I want to understand Esav a little better. Please don't be afraid, this is not going to be a whitewash of Esav. The Ribbono Shel Olam says he hates Esav, it's Esav Sonesi, and if the Ribbono Shel Olam hates Esav, then Esav must have been a very, very big Rosha. On the other hand, we do see that there must have been some potentially good points in Esav. The fact that they were not realized perhaps makes them even a bigger Rosha. But I'm thinking of for the Moshe the Chazal. It's not that it's Toldos now, we're not holding by Vayishlach yet. But I'm always afraid when Pashas Vayishlach comes around, because then I always have a fight with my wife. Not a serious fight, but we always disagree, because she cannot be soivel. What Chazal teaches us, that Yaakov was punished for locking up Dina in a box before Esav came. So what on earth, what do you want from him? Esav is a Rosh HaGomer, and she's an innocent, good Yiddish maid. So what, he should want her to marry Esav? Esav was about 100 years old, then she was a 6-year-old girl. I mean, what do we want? Good, so I try to be masbir in certain ways. By me, it's always a problem. But this year, I was thinking about it again. And whatever the pshat really is, I tell you in a moment what I think might be a pshat. But it seems to me that if there is a havamina, that Dina is going to be marzil lemut of Esav, that means that he must have been very, very close to doing tshuva. In other words, he was taka the Rosh whom we know. But it seems from the fact that Chazal blamed Yaakov for being so absolutely certain that he was an impossible person and therefore he has to protect Dina by hiding her from him, the fact that he's blamed for that shows that maybe she would have been Marzehim Lemotov. How would she have been Marzehim Lemotov? I think that if there is a tzad that she would have been Marzehim Lemotov, it seems to me that she must have carried this Yesoid in her, which Chazal tell us, that she was really meant to be a boy, and then Leah was mispalel, that it's going to be terrible for Rochel if she gets the extra boy, so there will only be one son left for Rochel. So she was mispalel, and Dina became a girl. So Dina must have been a young lady who carried in herself this Meshunadika Mesiras Nefesh in thinking for another person. Well, I mean, I don't know exactly the way children were looked upon at that time, but we see what a big issue it was, whether you have a son, whether you have a daughter, how many sons you have, how many shvotim your mom had. It was a very, very big Indian. And it's certainly mashma that the willingness of Leah to be mispalel, that Dina should become a girl instead of a boy, that was a terrific Mesiras Nefesh. And I imagine that Dina carried that in her. She must have been a good scout. She must have been a very, very, very big good scout. And maybe, obviously, the issue wasn't that she was going to have intellectual discussions with Esav, who was about 90 years older than she was, and she was just a child. But I imagine that what the Chazal meant was that this child, that she was such a good, sweet girl, and the Gutzkeit shone out of her. So maybe when Esav sees what a Yiddish Tochter is, and that there is such Gutzkeit and sweetness there, maybe that would have been Me'orehem. It seems to me from that Esav was not so far away from a tshuva than we might have supposed. He didn't do a tshuva and he became Esav, Olam HaShem Ba'atzion, Nishpoitasa Esav, Ois L'Hashem Mamlucha. No whitewashing. But just to understand the Chazal of here, I mean, Chazal is saying something. I mean, that there is a point that Yaakov could have thought maybe it's not Kedai to lock her up. Who knows? Maybe she'll be Marzehim Lemotov. I would imagine that if there is such a tzad, that she could have been Marzehim Lemotov, I imagine that would have been the way. That he just would have seen Gutzkeit, pure Gutzkeit, and he would have seen how nice that is and how beautiful that is, and he would have compared her with his strident, horrible wives which he had at home, which he couldn't trust with his own clothes. And he saw what a Yiddish mishpacha looks like and what a Yiddish meidler looks like. Perhaps it would have been takubim over him to tshuva. Wer weiß. But it seems to indicate to me that he was closer to tshuva than one might have supposed. And the other thing which I think needs a yishuv is sof kol sof Yitzchak's havamina, to give him the bracha. Vayev Yitzchak es esof kitzayit befiv. What's going on over there? Kitzayit befiv, because he liked the tzayit which Esof brought. So, the Ramban has a few pshatim over there. One pshat goes so far as to say that kitzayit befiv means he used to call Esav tzayit, because Esav was such a wonderful hunter and he brought him so much beautiful steaks. So, in Yitzchak's eyes, like he was a steak incarnate. He used to call him tzayit. So, what's this? Yitzchak is such a steak person. I mean, what is really going on over here? I mean, Yitzchak must have had some kind of a habamina. And the emes is, I have a feeling that when Esav brought the tzayit to Yitzchak, when he used to bring him this tzayit, you know, we know that the Maral talks about it, why we learn all the dinim of Kibbut Avraham from Goyim Davke, the Domo Ben Nesina. That's not for this year, but Be'etzem, Esav was terrific in Kibbut Avraham. He put on Big Deshavas before he brought the Tzayit to Yitzchak. So Yitzchak saw in Esav a very, very big Madrega of Kibbut Av. And I think I can be masbir that in a moment. Because the emes is, if it would have all been false, I'll tell you a very beautiful story back from my Philadelphia days. Well, I had already left Philadelphia, but you know, there was a fire in Philadelphia, and the yeshiva building burned down, Baruch Hashem, nobody was hurt. And so for a long time, till the thing was rebuilt, and whatever it was that they fixed up, so they had to live in these trailers, including the kitchen, that the kitchen was in one of those trailers. At that time, the person who cooked for the yeshiva was an old Rebbetzin, a Tyre lady, a sweet, wonderful lady, and she loved the Bochum, and she cooked for them. But the fact is that in the trailer, it wasn't so easy to cook. There wasn't any room to move around. She didn't have the right utensils, verves, and the food wasn't so good. So the Bochum came and complained to Rav Elia Zolgesundsein, to Rav Elia, and they said, look, the food is no good. You know, Yeshiva Bochum, Yeshiva Bochum. So they said, look, the food is no good. I wasn't there, but Rav Elia told me about it. So he said to them, you know, I see that you don't have gourmet palates. He said it in Yiddish, a feinschmecker. Feinschmecker is somebody like who can taste the subtleties of a meal. You know, if you have a great chef and he makes a beautiful meal, so if you're a feinschmecker, if you're a gourmet, so then you can taste the subtly beautiful tastes of the thing. He says, you guys aren't, you don't have a gourmet palate. So what's going on? He says, if you would have a gourmet palate, that means if you would have the sophistication to be able to taste the subtle tastes, you would taste the love that the Rebbetzin puts into that food that she makes, that she cooks for you. All right, so maybe there's some salt missing, or maybe there's this, maybe there's that, and maybe it's a little burnt. Oh, but was can das sein? Don't you taste the love that lies in them? No, as they sagt Rav Elia. So kommt doch aus, that you can taste, if you can taste the Rebbetzin's love, then you can taste Esav's Falschkeit and riches and evil and filth. And so Yitzchak is going to be so meshuchet with a tzayit befiv. He calls him tzayit, no less. So and so because he liked the steak so much, so he did not taste the Esav in the steak. It seems to me that from these chazalim, it seems that there was a tzad at least in Esav, which could have been developed further if he would have done it, but he didn't do it. So, what's taka the pshat that in the womb, Esav was the Vayisroitz to Habonim Bekirba, so they were fighting. So Rashi brings that when they came to Beis Hamedrash, so Yaakov wanted to come out. When they went to Avodah Zarah, Esav wanted to come out. That sounds like he's such a chunk of evil. Such a chunk of evil that even while he was still in the womb, the only thing he has in his mind is to go and serve Avodah Zarah. What's going on there? How do we understand this Esav? It's very, very strange. So it occurred to me that this space of Avodah Zarah, which Esav wanted to go out to, I wonder what kind of Avodah Zarah they served there. And I'll tell you why I wonder about that. Because you have this great Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Beis Amud Beis, the discussion between Menashe, the son of Chizkiyahu, the terrible Rosh Menashe, in whose rishus was at the bottom of why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Rav Ashi. So just read the Gemara quickly. Be Rav Ashi Uka Ashloisho Melochem. That in Rav Ashi's yeshiva they were learning Tanakh and they were going to learn about these three Melochem. And tomorrow was Menashe's turn. So he said, Omas, Rav Ashi said to the Talmidim, Lemocha Niftach Bechavren. Tomorrow we're going to learn about our pal. That means he talked disrespectfully about Menashe. He called him our friend. So tomorrow we're going to learn about our friend Menashe. Also Menashe, so Menashe came, is Chazilei Bechelma, and he appeared to him in a dream. Omar, he said, Chavrov v'chaveira de avruch korislon, I'm your friend, I'm your pal. I'm going to ask you a shayla. Will you know the answer? He asked him a shayla in Hilchas Betzia Sapas. Omar Lei, lo yodana, I don't know. Rav Ashi said, I don't know the answer. Omar Lei, mehecha de boys, le mishra hamoitzi, loy gemiras, v'chavrov korislon. You call me your friend when you're such an amaoretz? Omalei, so Rav Ashi was modest, and he says, Agmarili, please teach me, ulemocha dashinon le mishmach, bepirka. Omalei, so he told him the answer. So Rav Ashi asked him, Omalei, me'acha dechakvi moso kulahai, my tamo ko parchisu lavoidus kechomim. You're such a chokhom, you know Hilchus Metzias and Pasul a lot better than I know them. So why did you serve Avodah Zarah? Omalei, so he said, Ihavis Hosam, if you would have been there, having the kitna b'shipulei gelima, you would have lifted up your clothes. Apparently they wore these long kapotas and it stopped them from running really fast. So you would have lifted up your clothes, v'ruatas abasroi, and you would have chased after me to get to the Avodah Zarah. You would have wanted the Avodah Zarah much more than I, because I never picked up my clothes to run faster, but you would have picked up your clothes in order to be able to run faster. Hoyisha Magbias Faschalukecha Mibain Raglecho, Rashi says. You would have made sure that the clothes don't get in the way of your feet. Kadeshite Kal Logots Vayiso Rotzlisham Mipne Yetza Avoidus Kerchovim Shahoyo Shoilet. There was such a Yetza Hora of Avoidus Hora, which was Shoilet, and you would have run after me, and you would have even lifted up your clothes. The Maral says a very good pshat in the Gemara. What's this Indian of lifting up your clothes? What specific thing does that show? So the Maral says, how do you tell the difference? The fact is, the Gemara Targum tells us that Ein Tzadik Be'oretz Asher Lo Ya'aseh Teufel Lo Yechtor. Even the greatest people do an averus sometimes. Everybody has a yetzara, and people do averus. But how do you tell a great person who does an avera from a lowly person who does averas? Says the test will be when he's going out to do this avera, and then something gets in between, and he can't get there, and so he's not going to be able to be over the avera. So the größer Mensch, he's going to be so happy. Baruch Hashem, I didn't want to do this, but my Yetzirah took a hold of me, and my Tivus made me want to do this. And I'm the happiest person in the world that I was prevented from doing it. Adarava, I'll get myself the longest coat that I can find so that it'll trip me up and I won't be able to go. It says, you, Rav Ashi, would have lifted up your clothes. You would have been like the lowly person who gets upset when something happens which makes him unable to do the Avera. Because you, Taka, would have wanted to do the Avera. I cannot imagine that Rav Ashi, our Gemara is Rav Ashi, Ravin and Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi wants to serve Avodah Zorah. Let him say he would have lived in the Bais Rishon when the Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah was rampant. So he wanted to go and be Koifer in the Rabbeinu Shlalom. And Rachman el Islan, I can't imagine that. So what's going on over here? What Avodah Zorah was Rav Ashi going to serve? The Emma says that I have a feeling that maybe that Avodah Zorah which Esav was fighting to get out to from the womb, maybe it would have been the Avodah Zorah which Rav Ashi would have served. I don't think that would have been a kfirah of the Rabbeinu Shlalom. I think that what it would have been is like this. The Avodah Zorah, the Gemara says, Sanhedrin, you have the sugya where they were mispallel that the Rebbeinu Shem should relieve them of the Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah. So the Rebbeinu Shem was maskim, and he took away the Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah. And the Gemara says that in the moment when the Rebbeinu Shem took away the Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah, so at that moment a fiery lion cub, a young lion made out of fire, jumped out of the Kodesh Kodashim, and the Novi who was there told them, that's the Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah. So what was the Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah doing in the Kodesh Kodashim? So I looked around, I didn't see anybody who talks about it. Then I saw Rav Reuven Margolius, and the Margolius Hayam, he does bring the Teiros Chaim that he asks the question, what was the Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah doing in the Kodesh Kodashim? So he says, because just like our Yetzirim, the Yetzirah, the Yetzirah Toiv, whatever cravings we have, the Mokah is in our heart. So the Yetzirah of the Tzibur is in the heart of the Tzibur, and the Kodesh Kodoshim is the heart of the Tzibur. So Teres Chaim says, why is the Kodesh Kodoshim the heart of the Tzibur? Because in the Kodesh Kodoshim you have the Evan Shasiyah, Shemimenu Hushtas Ha'olam, that the whole, just like the heart is the thing that gives life to the body, so the Kodesh Kodoshim, the Mimeni Hushtas Ha'olam, that gives the life to the whole world. So it's a Moyudi Gezach that what does that mean? So Rashi says over there in Yuma, what does it mean that the Yetzirah Shemenu Hushtas Ha'olam, Gemara calls it Tzion, that the world was created from Tzion, and that's the Kodesh Kodoshim, because of the Evan Shasiyah. So the Gemara says, you know why? Because Mimenu Hushtas Ha'olam, so Rashi says, because the Rebbeinu Shem first created Tzion. So you can imagine, there was void, nothing existed yet. Nothing, 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 nothing. The Rebbeinu Shem says, all right, I'm going to create a world. How did he do it? He created the Kodesh Kodoshim. And then Rashi says, Rugovim, chunks of earth, came and stuck themselves on from all sides, and it became bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it became a whole universe. Very, very interesting Gemara. So what is implicit in that? What is implied in that? That it's the Kodesh Kodoshim which spreads the world. The energy for the world becoming a world was the Hashroas Hashchina in the Kodesh Kodoshim. And that's where the mocha of Avodah Zorah is. Rahman al-Islam, what does that mean? I think it means like this. Because if the Shechina is that which pushed the world outwards, then everything that was created, the trees, the stones, the animals, everything, 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 it's all energized by the Shechina. It's all energized by the Rebbeinu Shlalom. Meintostach, that in everything in the Briya, there is the Rebbeinu Shlalom. It's there. You see a beautiful tree, it casts shade. Who put the shade there? The Rebbeinu Shlalom. Who made the apple taste excellent? The Rebbeinu Shlalom. Everything is the Rebbeinu Shlalom. can't it be that maybe the physical world is so clearly made on the Ribbono Shel Olam that there could be a Yetzer Hara to stop the... Why do I need to understand the Ribbono Shel Olam in all his mystery, in all his invisible and... here I have a tree. You know, the emes is, it's not funny, the whole of Sefer Iyov, everybody knows the story partly, but I don't know whether everybody knows the ending. You know, the three friends tried to conquer, to comfort Iyov, and they didn't do a very good job. It didn't work very well for them. So then you have Eliyahu, and he tried. And in the end, Rabbeinu Shalom comes to Iyov. And what does he tell Iyov? He takes him Ki'ilu by the hand, and he shows him the animal world. And he describes an ostrich to him. He describes a hippopotamus for him. He describes a stallion for him. What's going on? The talents is because when after the Ribbono Shel Olam has showed him all that, so the Sefer ends, and Iyov was happy. He was happy. L'shema Eisen Shematicha. I only argued because I had a philosophical approach to you. I wanted to understand with my mind. And so I had kashyas. And now you show me the ostrich. You show me the hippopotamus. And you show me where everything in the world shows you godless, shows who you are. I have no more problems. You didn't give me answers, but I don't have any more questions. So you see that the world is something which can attract us to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the mamash of Pasha and Tanakh. It can attract us to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the Ribbono Shel Olam asked it. Ribbono Shel Olam says, I don't want you to come to me through the ostrich. I want you to daven to me straight without anything in between. But I would imagine, and that has its reasons, but that's another story. But I imagine that if Rav Ashi would have been living in a time before the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah was removed, if that would have been the case, I imagine that that is the kind of Yetzer Hara of your Avodah Zarah he would have deemed. He would have said, look, I can stop here. I don't have to go all the way to the top and deal with the Ribbono Shel Olam as Ribbono Shel Olam. I'll stop by a tree. I'll stop by a stone. I'll stop by a stream. Maybe. And it could be that that is the base of Avodah Zarah which Esav wanted to come out towards. See, just one more point, and then we'll get to the sort of the denouement and see where all this ends. But the fact is, you know, it says, "Vayhi Esav ish yadei atzayet ish sodeh, Yaakov ish tam yoshev olim." Is there something inherently wrong in ish yadei atzayet? Ish yadei atzayet ish sodeh. So Rashi brings over there that he was merameh sabrias. Tzayet means a sly, cheating kind of person. Is that really so? Is it really so that tzayet indicates evil by itself? So the emes is, we can go to Nimrod. Al ken yomer k'nimrod gibor tzayet lifnei Hashem. He was a gibor tzayet lifnei Hashem. Now, we know that Nimrod was a Rosha. Aber, that's very interesting Loshen in the Ramban. He brings Rabbi Avrom Pirush Hepecho Inyan. He first brings Rashi, but he says, Ibn Ezra learns verkehrt. Al der Pshutoi. Ki hu heche lios gibo alachayes lotzedoi san. He was a master hunter. U Pirush lifnei Hashem. Sho yoboine misbechois umale es achayes leoilo lifnei Hashem. And he brought them all for Kobonis. He made Kobonis out of them. That was his Gibur Tzayet, Lifnei Hashem. Zog der Heilige Ramban, Ve'ein Dvor of Niren, Ve'hinei hu Matztik Rosha, Ki Rabbeisenu Yodo Rishoy Bekabola. See, the Ramban is Machria, not like the Ibn Ezra, not because he says the Pshat in the Posuk can't yield it. So I said the Pshat in the Posuk could yield it. No, was then we have a Mesoid on Nishtazoy. But the etzem yisoid of tzayet could be that it's either neutral or even good. That you have this enormous power. You have this enormous power. Emma says, later on you have in Shmuel, I was misupik that maybe it is the mafurish in the pasuk that he was a rasha, because you have in the shir of David HaMelech, it says im chosid tischasad im gibor tomim titamam. So there's somebody called the gibor tomim, and here you have gibor tzayit, and you have by us the same thing. You have ish yodea tzayit ish sodeh, and you have Yaakov. So it could be that these are idioms. Gibor Tzayit means a swindler, and Gibor Tomim means a person who's a tmimistika person. Could be, I don't know. But the Pshuta Shel Mikra over here, the Ramban seems that without the Messiah of Chazal, he could have been maskim to the Ibn Ezra that it means an elecha hunter. He was hakel. See, and it could be that Esav also, when he became an Ish Yadei Atzayit Ish Sodeh, that is how he wanted to come to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He wanted to do an Eiv. He wanted to do an Eiv. Let me be Makir the Ribbono Shel Olam through the animals. Let me live with the animals out in the forest and see them in all their wonder, in all their perfection, in all that, nispoils werden from the animals. See, I don't think that any of the texts really necessarily yield that he was such a Rosha. He was a Rosha, as I tell us, just like the Ramban says, that we have a Messiah, that Nimrod was a Rosha, we have a Messiah, that Esau was a Rosha. I think that maybe the solution to all this is the Medrash, which I have this feeling, I may have quoted it before. It's a Tana de Be'el Yor Zutta, in Perek Yutes, and it tells the story of when Esau comes and meets Yaakov in Vayishlach, coming back from Choron, and Esau comes there and meets him. Ba'oisa shor, notal Esau b'chelko ha'olam hazeh, in the womb, they made a deal. Ba'oisa shor, notal Esau b'chelko ha'olam hazeh, v'yaakov notal b'chelko ha'olam habor. They said, let's stop fighting, let's make a chaluka. And Esau took olam hazeh, and Yaakov took olam habor. See, let me interrupt a moment. See, Esau was Mr. Olam Hazeh. See, my sense tells me, for example, that why was he dafka so great in Kibbutz Avraham? Why was he dafka so great? And he put on his big day Shabbos. And he brought the Tzayet to Yitzhak in a mechubadika way. You saw that Yitzhak didn't, like with Rav Eli Strickeltayer, it didn't smack that there was a Rosha over here. The Teretz is, it's very, very good. Chazal say that the Shloisha Shetofim Yesh Ba'odam, the Ribbono Shel Olam Ovi Ve'imai. He wasn't Goyros the Ribbono Shel Olam part. He was Goyros the Ovi Ve'imai. In other words, his Madrega of Kibbutz Avraham was higher than a normal Yid's Madrega of Kibbutz Avraham, because by a Yid he knows the Av is only one shot of them and the mother. There's the Ribbono Shel Olam also. But Esav wasn't Goyros Ki'ilu the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, my life is circumscribed by the physical. If my life is circumscribed by the physical, so my Av is everything to me. And therefore I put on my big deshadas when I serve him. See, it all fits very, very strong. If we just think a little bit beneath the surface, you can see that there are big yesoides over here. Anyway, so that was the division that they made. Ukushabo Yaakov mi beis Lovan, v'ro Esav, sheyesh li Yaakov, noshem ubonim, v'avodim, v'shfachas, v'behemas, v'kesav, v'zov. Esav said, what is going on over here? I'm supposed to be having Olam Hazeh. Yaakov is not supposed to be having Olam Hazeh. Where does he get all this stuff from? Omer Esav liYaakov, Yaakov ochi, loy kach omato li shetitol ato ha'olam habo, v'ani eto lo olam hazeh, u'minayin loch kol ha'olam hazeh, noshim u'bonim u'momayin avodim u'shfochas. Lomo ato mishtamesh v'ne'neh min ha'dvorim sheba'olam hazeh komoisi. You're just as rich as I am. What's going on? Omer lo Yaakov leEsav, ze ma'at ha'ruchush shenosan li HaKadosh Baruch Hu leishtamesh bo'i lefi ha'tzorech sheli ba'olam hazeh, and so on. So Yaakov is saying, it's a mistake, it's taken not mine. You're right, olam hazeh is yours. But if the Ribbono Shel Olam puts me into this olam hazeh, so obviously I'm going to have to eat. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gives me, not because it's mine, but because it's like a salary. I'm here, so he has to look after me. So all these riches he gave to me, because I'm using them, because that's my tzorech, the way I live and the way I serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, I need all this stuff. That's what's going on over here. What do I see in this conversation? I see like this, that, you see, also, let's finish reading the Medrash because it's important to see the end. Yeah? Ba'os Ashor, at that moment, Hermit Esau B'dai Toivu Oma, Uma Hoylam Azeh She'en Li Yaakov Chelek Boi, Kach Nosna Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hoylam Abero Shehu Chelko Shel Yaakov, Al Aros Kamo V'Kamo. Wow, what he must have in Hoylam Abo. He is only a guest and he has so much. So suddenly he saw that he had made a bad deal in the womb. Ba'oysa Shor Oma Lo Esav Li Yaakov, Yaakov Ochi, Boi V'Nase Shetafut. Let's make a new partnership. Let's renegotiate. Ani ve'ato. Tul ato ho'olam hazeh ve'olam habo chatzi. Va'ani ato gam kein ho'olam hazeh ve'olam habo chatzi. Shneim ha'vo'om ha'esav ha'tzigun ho'im chom min ha'om ha'sha'iti. So the answer which Yaakov gave him is a very interesting answer, but we shouldn't go into that, otherwise we get too loud over, too long over here. But what do we see from this whole thing? We see that Esav had made a mistake. He had thought that if he's going to go half-half in both Olamas with Yaakov, so he's going to get very little Olam Hazeh. And he wanted Olam Hazeh. He felt that this was his Mokam. His Mokam, he was the kind of person whose Avodah had to be in Olam Hazeh. So he felt, I better give up on Olam Haba, and I'll only have Olam Hazeh, and then I'll have plenty of Olam Hazeh, and I'll be fine. When he saw that Yaakov had given up Olam Hazeh, and still he had very much, so he said, oh, it was a bad deal. I shouldn't have given up Olam Haba. I think that when we want to know where Esav became a Rosha, I think this is the Yesod, that he gave up the Olam Haba. See, if he would have said, look, let's split even down the way. I have Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, you have Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, yeah? I know that your Ikar Avodah is going to be in Olam Haba. I'll make my Ikar Avodah in Olam Hazeh. I'll come to the Ribbono Shel Olam through the animals. That's the kind of person I am. I'm not a Yoshev HaHolem. I can find the Ribbono Shel Olam within the physical world. Maybe that's the pshat. But what happens? But he did give up Olam Haba. And Yaakov wasn't willing to renegotiate. Very interesting. You know why not? Because he said, I can't, my children, how can I make my children balabatim in Olam Hazeh? Oy, Omer Yaakov le'esav Adoni yodea ki ha'yelodim rakim ve'enem yicholim lamod b'yisurin shel bonecho. Shneima v'yomer lo v'adoni yodea ki ha'yelodim rakim v'atzon v'boko oloysa la'yo t'fokum yamechot v'meshe kol atzon yavono Adoni lefnei avdo v'ani esna lo l'eti. We're not going to renegotiate. I don't want Olam Hazeh. I don't want Olam Hazeh for my kids. Ich will nicht. Whatever I need, the Ribbono Shel Olam will give me. Baruch Hashem, at the moment he gave me a lot. There'll be other times when he gave me very little. I live like that. So now, like Esav recognized, I think, that willingness to give up Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba for Olam Hazeh, an Olam Hazeh cut off from Olam Haba, that's going to kill you. That's going to, in a ruchnistic kind of way. Don't think that you can come to the Ribbono Shel Olam through an Olam Hazeh which is divorced from Olam Haba. I really think that may be the pshat with Esav. And then he became and he started doing Kol Dovar Oso, Bo Al Naro Amur Oso, and he was a Rotzeach, alle gute Sachen. Because with whatever good intentions he started it, if I'm right, it could be that the Avodah Zorah, which he tried to crash out for, was Taka Rav Ashi's Avodah Zorah, of course the Avodah Zorah which Rav Ashi didn't serve, but which he might have served had he lived in the Bais Rishon. I may be wrong, maybe he would have done the real Avodah Zorah, but I can't believe it. And I can understand that because that's also Avodah Zorah. If somebody goes and makes an idol and he says, look, I'm going to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam by bowing down to this idol, it's Avodah Zorah, you're not allowed to do that. So it could be that that's what Esav wanted. Like he saw his Hatzlacha in Avodah Hashem through the physical world. And forget, Dafke in the physical world, Yeah, it could be that Dina would have had this influence on him, because in the physical world he saw what had been sacrificed to bring this little girl into the world. Somebody was willing to give up so much chashivas, a seventh son, just that Rachel shouldn't be disappointed. See, he could hear that. But he didn't understand that you can't use this world by keeping out of the Olam Haba. That's how the suggestions which I want to make, they're two tzedakim, either they're right or they're wrong. Think it over yourselves. Ask your rabbis whether any of this is legitimate, but it seems to me that this is a way that it's possible to be oimed on some of these parshiyos, because they really do need a husband. Like, why should Rivka and Yitzhak have a son who even in the womb wants to serve up by the Zorot? I mean, is there no good in him at all? And again, Yitzhak, how can it be? You can't make such mistakes. I'll call upon him. That's my suggestion. And I hope there was some emes in it.